Hello. Thank you for listening to the Clare Church Podcast. Today's teaching from Pastor Ben is based on Psalm 126 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He helps us discover that joy is our true home. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. I'm really off my game today. And I say that because not only was there all the chaos of things here, but I left Ebenezer, guess what I left on the pulpit? My sermon notes. So the good news is I preached it once. Hopefully I can remember what it is I said. But I know where I started, and I know where I ended. So there's no Chiefs game today, so I got plenty of time to get there too, right? All right. I want to take you back in time to spring of 2016, and if you can remember that far back, maybe you'll remember some things, but here's what I remember, that my family was riding on the cloud of the victory of the 2015 Royals, who won the World Series, and in November of 2015, there was a big parade in Kansas City, and of course, Zeke couldn't wait to play baseball that spring here in the Pony Express League in St. Joseph. And, you know, being a baseball family, I volunteered to coach. I'd never coached a baseball team. I'd done a little bit of coaching in track and field, but never baseball or any kind of team sport like that. Not that track and field is not a team sport. I don't want to offend the coach in the room here, but we show up for practice, that first practice, and most of them couldn't catch, couldn't throw, couldn't hit, didn't know which base to run to first. You know, we're talking 6 and 7 year olds, kindergarten, first grade kids out there, and I didn't know what I was going to do. Well, you start with the basics, right, and you just build from there. Really, at that age, all you need to work on is the basics. Right? So the games get started, and we lose. And I don't remember very many wins during the season. I'm sure we had a few. But it came time for the city tournament, and I decided, no, I'm just going to have fun. We're going to go out there, we're going to do our best, and we're going to have fun doing it. Okay? Well, we won the first game that we played in the tournament. Then we won the second game that we played in the tournament, and I thought, oh man, if we lose this one, they're going to want us to play Sunday morning when I'm supposed to be at church. Fortunately, we won, and we end up in the finals, and it didn't start until 12:30, so I had just enough time to get down here and get over there. So we go into the finals of the city tournament for coach pitch for 6 and 7 year old first graders, right? Undefeated, yeah, and it's a double elimination tournament. So whatever team had to play us, they were going to have to play us twice. Remember, this is the team that I started with that couldn't catch, couldn't throw, couldn't run. So we had done a lot of work, but I still had very little hope when that tournament started. But yet, here we are with two chances to win this tournament. So we played the first game, didn't go our way. So I was like, that's all right, we can regroup, get out there, we can do this. Well, we regrouped, we got out there, and by this time, the sun started to go down, and so you can imagine, the first game's at 12:30, and you get to the later games, you've been out there a long time with 6 and 7 year old kids, and they were tired. They were tired, and it didn't go our way. And the kids were a little bit upset at first, but then they pushed out the cart with the trophies. There were first place trophies and second place trophies. Those kids lit up because they had won and earned that second place trophy. Now, maybe it wasn't first place trophy, but it didn't matter. They had earned that trophy, right? They had put in the time and the effort, and they won that trophy. And so we're all putting our arms around each other, getting posing for the picture, and I got the other coaches there with me that I recruited and roped into helping me, and there, kneeling next to Zeke, getting our picture taken with our trophies. And Zeke looks at me and he says, "Dad, why are you crying? Why are you crying?" And I was like, "Son, I'm just so happy. I'm so happy. And there were tears of joy. And I thought of that as I read this scripture from Psalm 126. It says, they will sow in tears, but they will reap in joy. They will go out to sow in tears, but they will come back reaping with shouts of joy. And so it had me asking all of these questions about joy, and where does it come from? Where does it come from where you can have the joy and to recognize those moments of joy? And I thought, if you have a hard time finding joy, if joy is not just your natural state of being, if you have a hard time with it, then maybe think like, maybe we have a hard time finding joy if we have a hard time finding peace. Because if you're always in struggle and in a tug of war and a conflict and in your life, letting those things mess you up and get to you, it's hard to find, if you can't find peace to pause and slow down, then it's also hard to find the joy. And it's hard to find the joy and the peace if you don't also have hope, right? You don't also have hope that says, hope is real simple. It's some kind of vision of a better future, right? That where I stand today, the way life is now, is not the end. But there is a better future that is already beginning. And so I think joy happens when that hope and the peace are already a part of your life. And you begin to see those moments sprout up where you see the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, God's word, God's blessing, God's favor breaking through into our life. You can't hold back the tears. You can't hold back the shouts. You can't hold back the smile on your face. Because you see what's the reaping, the harvest that's happening. So, they will sow in tears. They will sow in tears. What does that mean? Part of it means life isn't always lollipops and gumdrops and pretty blue skies and sunshine, right? They will sow in tears. Sometimes I think we spend too often avoiding the tears. That may be why Zeke asked me, God damn, why are you crying? I think in our culture there's a sense of crying is a sign of weakness. And if there's one thing you're not supposed to be, it's weak. I'm not saying that that's the right way to look at things. I'm just saying that's a lot of the pressure that culture puts on us, right? Let's push those tears down. Let's keep them out of the face of public, your public face, right? But yet, Scripture says they will sow in tears. They will plant in tears. And so it's saying, like, right now there's just a seed. And it doesn't look like much. But there's a hope that it will grow and be something else. Right? Something better. Some kind of favor, some kind of blessing that God has for us. We can't see all of it when we have the seed. But when we go out and we start to come back and we're reaping, we get to see pieces and glimpses of it. And so we reap with those shouts of joy. Alright, so one of the things that stuck out to me as I began studying and reading this scripture, Psalm 126, it says, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion. That word captive stuck out at me. Because I think what keeps us from our hope, peace, and joy is that too often we get held captive. Captive by defeat. In fact, this is a psalm, it says a psalm of ascent. And what that means was it was a psalm meant to be sung as you were ascending Zion, as you were making your pilgrimage to Jerusalem and to the Temple Hill, to Zion, is what they call that Temple Hill, the Temple Mount. And so this psalm of ascent, it was a song that they would have sung when they were released from captivity, right? Remember, they were in exile in Babylon. And I began thinking, what are those places in our life that we are held captive? How are we held captive by defeat? Because every single one of us, at some point or another, has experienced some kind of failure, right? I had about five of them just this morning since we started this service, right? And see, hope, peace, and joy says that my captivity is not my home. I mean, I may live there for a while, but eventually I'm going to escape. See, that's the hope that we have. We can escape that captivity. See, you may be held captive by things like denial. Denying your situation. Denying your reality. Just, I don't have time to deal with it. Maybe you're held captive by the distractions that help you live in that denial. Right? If I could just keep myself busy enough, with enough things to do and enough people to see and enough things going on, I won't have to deal with this situation of captivity. And meanwhile, you're missing out on the hope, the peace, and the joy. How many of you have heard that group, Straight No Chaser, some of their Christmas songs? They have one out there called the Santa Can-Can. Have you heard it? It just goes on really quickly through the list of all the things we have to do between now and Christmas. Right? And there's a refrain over and over again, shopping, shopping, you know, starting right before Halloween, shopping, shopping, you know, just on and on. And it just stuck out to me, like, what we've turned Christmas into, this busy rush of distractions. How can we find those moments of joy? Maybe held captive, so we said, denial, distractions. What about deficiency? What I mean by that is, you look at that voice in your head that says you're just not good enough. You haven't decorated good enough, you didn't cook a good enough dinner, you didn't bake good enough cookies, you know. You didn't buy good enough presents, so you got to go out and buy some more. That deficiency in your head, in your mind, you know, and I've just named off Christmas things, but it could be you have some kind of... You have a negative voice in your head that speaks some kind of deficiency, that you just are reminded of all the things you can't do, that you can't do well. In fact, you may even, it may not just be a voice in your head, you may have somebody in your life that likes to follow you around and tell you all the things you can't do. Some of us call that person spouse. Right? Deficiency could be holding you captive. Some kind of limitation, holding you captive, keeping us from that peace, hope, and joy. Now, notice what the scripture says that we've read today. It says, so the Lord brought back the captives. So hope says captivity is not our home, that we are going to escape. It says our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Because we knew that finally we were able to go to our real home, our true home. I got to go for a walk yesterday back in my hometown, at least Summit, Missouri. And walking around on the path and on the trail, it was a weird feeling because I walked by these places that were new. Things that weren't there when I was a kid. Things that weren't there when I was in high school and a teenager and driving around and doing things. Roads in different places, apartment complexes that are messing up the skyline now that I, you know, don't remember. And then there was also old structures that were boarded up and bits off. That at one point I remember them being beautiful, like something out of a painting. And I walked by, and there was like this longing. Man, I wish this could be my home again, right? But the same thing happened again this morning. As I'm driving to Ebenezer, I'm driving down Riverside Road, and they put that new trail in between Farron and Massani. But as I pass over 36 Highway and I'm headed south, the trail, the path comes in right there, just past 36 Highway before you get to Pickett. There's a path. And guess what was going on there? There was a couple people out jogging. And last night when I was on my walk, walking around Lee Summit, there was another path in the trail. There was a couple people out jogging. And I realized what I was really missing. What I was really missing, what I really wanted to be a part of was out there on the path, jogging and running. But are you in touch with those kinds of things? And do you have a hope for those kinds of things? Do you have a longing for that kind of thing? And what is it? Name it for yourself. What are you hopeful for? What brings you peace? What allows you to pause and experience those moments of joy? Now, here's the thing about running. It takes some tears and some hard work to get to those moments of joy, right? About anything that's worth doing, you can't avoid the tears and expect to find the joy, right? You can't just avoid the tears, avoid the difficulty, avoid the hard work, and expect to reap the joy. But yet that's what we try to do, right? With all our distractions, with all our denial, with all the other things going on, maybe I can find it somewhere. And I can repress the tears. Or I can deny them. But the scripture says they will go out with tears, but they will reap and return with shouts of joy. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. In the Thessalonians passage that we read, listen to the instruction he gives us. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Now, I don't know about you, but if we take that seriously, that seems like a lot of work, doesn't it? And I don't want this to just be another sermon, another preacher that you hear that just gives you more things to go and do. You got enough to do, don't you? Yes? Enough stuff to go and do? Enough places to be, enough people to see? So what is he saying here? Well, if you back up, he says, he's teaching us about the coming of the Lord again. Have you heard of this Advent? It seems like all these scriptures reminding us about the second coming of Christ. He's coming, he's making his home among us again. And he's saying, look, that future, your true home is one of joy. So go ahead now and be joyful always. That future, that home, is one of the presence of God. So pray now, continually. Right? That future is one of joy. So be thankful. Be thankful always and in all circumstances. Let's go ahead and live where our true home is now. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's destiny for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's home for you in Christ Jesus. Is that you would be joyful always. That you would be always in prayer. That you would always be thankful. That's God's home for you. That's God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Notice the things that he's leaving out of that, right? He's leaving out the difficulty and the tears. He's not saying that it's not there, that we don't go through it, but he's saying God's going to bring you through it, and his will for you is good things. See, because it's easy to be held captive by the negative things. I read somewhere that on average, 8 out of 10 of our thoughts are negative. That it's some kind of survival response that we have to keep us always aware and looking out for dangers, right? Excuse me. I need to take a drink real quick. I was prepared today. But listen to what he teaches us. He says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. And it's the Spirit with a capital S. So say, don't quench God's Spirit, God's work in your midst, God's work in your life, that He is pulling you through, that He is speaking with you, that He's there by your side. Don't quench that awareness that God is with you and working through you. He says, do not treat prophecies with contempt. Meaning, when you hear some kind of teaching, don't just write it off, he says, but test everything. Test everything. And listen to what he says. He says, hold on to what is good. Hold on to what is good. Avoid every kind of evil. Let go of the negative thoughts, but hold on to the positive ones that bring you through. Are you hearing? And he says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole, W-H-O-L-E, spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when it talks about God's will for your life, God's purpose for your life, God's calling on your life, the goal, excuse me, the goal is not brokenness or emptiness or struggle or conflict or division or defeat or denial or deficiency. Those are not the goal. The goal is wholeness for your body, mind, and spirit. Healing. Now, in order to get there, in order for there to be healing, there had to first be a wound, brokenness to go through. And the healing process, I don't know, have you ever had to go through physical therapy? Yeah. It's not easy work, is it? It's not easy work. They sow away tears, but they reap in joy. And he says, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do these things for you. You see, the hope, the joy of Christmas is that you see in the baby, a little baby, born in a dirty, stinky stall in a barn, literally, born in a barn, seeing in that, Savior, the Prince of Peace. Now, baby can't do much, right? Can't do anything for itself. But we see the seed of it. See, it's like Mary receives with joy the news that she's going to bear God's son, but then she has to go through the pain and the tears of pregnancy and labor. So, Scripture is teaching us is that joy, there is pain that God brings us through, but joy says it was worth it. It was worth it. See, hope looks at that baby and sees the King and the Prince of Peace. Hope looks at the cross, an instrument of death, and sees new life. Hope looks at a grave, a tomb, and sees it empty. God looks at your life and he calls to you and he says, what does he see? And he wants you to see it too. Which are you going to live for? you going to continue to let things be captive of you? Are you going to take hold of what is good? And see the joy that God brings. Let's pray. God, we hear your Spirit speaking and challenging us to take time to slow down and pause and experience the moments of joy you have for us. To see the potential in our lives being realized by the work of your Spirit through us. God, some of us are facing difficulty. Some of us are facing grief. Some of us are facing darkness, sadness, sorrow. But yet, God, your word plants the seeds in the midst of those tears. You're planting the seeds of hope. Our home is life. That our home is joy. That our home is peace in your presence. God, help us to lay down these burdens before you. To trust in your work. To trust the promise of the scripture that we heard that you will do these things for us. And bring us through whatever we're facing to our home of joy. And help us to hold on to what is good and to let go of what is evil. That we can open our eyes and experience your joy, our true hope. Amen. So your challenge this week, as you go about your week, this last week before Christmas, instead of being overwhelmed with busyness and distractions, which you may very well have a lot to do, I don't know. But also, just take time to take a deep breath and experience the moments with the people around you. Take time to let go of whatever that picture-perfect Christmas is you're working so hard on. And just experience the one that's all around you. In the eyes of your kids and your grandkids, and your brothers and sisters, your spouses, your neighbors, your co-workers. Anywhere and everywhere, God's joy is there. It's there for you to see. Take time to see.